Anyone who knows anything of the Ducal Boers, there was no more twisted, perverted form of Christianity than they, who yet call themselves pacifists, fled Russia. Many of them came to Canada, and I don't think any of us want to be aligned with the Ducal Boers for all their mad kind forms of protest, including nudity, and I will say no more. Now, Leo Tolstoy and those who follow him claim to have a biblical basis for their style of ethics. And they cite the Sermon on the Mount and this very text that we're going to be looking at here tonight, Matthew 5:39, which says that ye resist not evil. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and the joy of the Lord, I trust, is your strength today as you walk with Him and serve Him. If you're listening in here in the morning, some of you may need strength for the day. And this is the Lord's promise that as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Others may be tuning in here in the evening on the way home from work, and maybe you've had a really hair-pulling day, a day when you just felt so overwhelmed. May the Lord meet with you and bless you and touch your heart and give you strength that you might be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Today's ministry is on turning the other cheek, and we're turning to the Sermon on the Mount by the Lord Jesus, and this really is good practical Christian advice that we need to be reminded of. We're going to read here in Matthew 5:33. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said of by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee. Turn not thou away. What we're dealing here really is the ethics as set out by the Lord Jesus. And as you know, there was often a controversy, a great tension between the Lord and the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the legalists. They went by the book. And sometimes they made laws and principles that were, well, on paper looked good, but there was nothing from the heart. Anything that removes heart from Christianity cannot always be right. There are absolutes. There are those things that are inflexible and unchangeable. God is righteous, holy, His word is true, and we won't change a word of it because it is the word of truth. But the Lord Jesus, in His ministry, in this Sermon on the Mount, He got to the issues of the heart. And the issues of mercy. He did not just preach law only, but mercy as well. And what a good thing, because how would we ever be saved and how would we ever function if there was no mercy to be found in the Lord? And we are so thankful that God has dealt with us on the basis of mercy and does so every day. And therefore we are to reflect that and give a demonstration of mercy in all our actions with men. And I hope today, as you tune in to the broadcast, as we bring to you the message from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale, that the Lord will guide you and bring you into clarity on these things. So thank you for tuning in. May the Lord speak to your heart today. Test number 3 comes up in verse 41. The willing desire to go the second mile. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, which simply means 2 miles. Now, the history behind this is that the Jews in the Lord's day were under Roman occupation. And under Rome and many other occupiers, when they took over a nation, they ruled every aspect of their lives. And they had this policy that a Roman soldier could take any civilian and make him carry a burden 1 mile. That was normal. That was acceptable. And many people complied. They had no options. If a Roman soldier laid hands on you and pulled you out and said, you take that now the next mile. This is what the old stagecoach idea of getting this package from here to here. You get this man to carry it a mile, and you get the next man to carry it a mile, and eventually it reaches its destination. And so you're asked by a Roman to take this package a mile. Instead of balking and complaining and objecting perhaps, or showing your obstinacy, what did the Lord say? Carry it 2 miles. Go the second mile. Show them what your spirit is. That while you're under occupation and while you do not accept them as your friends, yet you show submission, you show your new nature, you show your readiness to serve, and by that you are looked upon as a Christian man, one with a testimony, this person will go the second mile. Now apply that in your home or in your workplace. Wouldn't employers just love to have a worker like that? That if you ask him to do a task, he'll go the second mile? That he'll not only do it to just say, well, I did what you wanted. That's all you asked of me, and that's all I did. I did the least. But how wonderful it would be to have an employee who goes the second mile and gets the job completed and goes a little further. What about a tax audit? I think that would be more of a parallel. The Romans, the Jews hated the Romans occupying them, and every person hates the tax man. What if you had a tax audit? And they want to see your files, they want to see your documents. And you come reluctantly and you throw down a few things on the table and you say, there you are, that's what I'm giving you. And the tax man says, is that them all? Oh no, that's not them all. And you have to go back and search for more, and then you bring a few more, and then go through that process. And you act in a very reluctant fashion, showing a great degree of consternation that you are being audited by the tax man. Well, a great proof of your Christian attitude would be, rather than just giving the bare minimum of just getting the whole deal and say, look, there it is. There's everything I have. I've tried to put it in order to make your job as straightforward as possible. And here's a cup of coffee, and I'll give you cookies along with it. And you try to show an amicable, friendly spirit, whereby you show, number one, you're honest, number two, you're not reluctant, and that you're willing to go the second mile. That becomes a part of our Christian testimony. And that tax auditor may leave your business or your home, and he may be thinking, my, I wish everybody I deal with was like that. And I wish everybody was as honest and open and ready to comply with the demands of the job that I have. I think you will realize, if you want to be social, don't become a tax man. If you work for Revenue Canada, you may not have very many friends in this world. But how wonderful it would be to find someone who is a Christian and who doesn't resent it, and rather is willing to go the second mile. We come now to test number four, and that's in verse 42. Willingness to lend. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. And here is a great test of our self-centeredness. Will you lend me $20? I'm out of gas money. And you reply, well, some years ago I made a blanket policy that I never lend money. Well, you don't have a lending attitude to anybody. Maybe you're a school teacher and you've got a little grade one boy or girl and they have no lunch and they're asking for a dollar that they might have a bite of lunch. And you have this grand policy that is the great principle of your life. I never lend money. And that poor little child goes hungry a day because of your grand policy. That's Phariseeism. That's not the spirit of Christ. The Lord says to her, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Now, that doesn't mean that you take this text, Matthew 5, 42, and you go to your bank and you ask for a loan for $150,000 because you want to buy a Ferrari car. Doesn't mean that the bank is going to change all the bank policies because you've got your Bible text. And this is what the Lord Jesus says here in his word. Well, you might do the man more harm than good by giving him such a loan. You wouldn't be his friend at all if you were a banker giving a loan on that basis. So a bank is not going to change its lending policies because you bring this text to the bank manager. You would probably do that person a lot of harm by lending them too much. What about someone in a drunken stupor and he wants $50, supposedly for food? Are you going to give him the $50? Well, if it's the liquor that's talking, no. Because most likely he's going to spend that on more alcohol that's only going to poison his system, and you're not going to help out on that basis. But, and here is where the Bible is very clear. If a brother is in need, and he comes to you seeking for help, and you shut the door, then you're missing the message of Christianity. Where there is no desire to help and no tenderness for his situation, so that you leave him out in the cold and without help, well, that's just selfish. That's Phariseeism. That's what they would have done. But the Lord Jesus taught here, I say unto you, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. So obviously we qualify this. There are cases we would never lend money to someone. If it's unreasonable, ridiculous, if it's going to do the person's harm, if it's going to be squandered on drugs and money, we're not going to lend our money to supposedly help that person feed their addiction. We're not going to do that. We need wisdom. I remember Morris McElroy telling us, he was the head of the Union Gospel Mission, and their policy, of course, is never to give money to an individual on the streets. And he said there was a time even he took someone into a restaurant to get a fast food place just to get some food, paid the bill, and left it all on the table. And this person that he had bought the food for came back into the restaurant and complained that the food was not good and demanded the money back, and off he went and spent it on his addiction. That's the mentality of people on the streets. And we ought not to be naive and foolish to give in to that. But what the Bible addresses is when there are those genuine needs. Now let's go to another passage of the Bible. 1 John 3 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need. So this is not a stranger. This is not somebody walking up to you and you haven't met him ever in your life and he's coming to you. This is a brother. Someone who also names the name of the Lord, and seeth whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need. So he doesn't even ask. But you, by observing, by perhaps you're in the right place at the right time, and you understand the predicament that this person is in. If you just walk away and don't even attempt to offer some help or relief, well, we're told here, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And so we do have a special responsibility when it comes to those who are especially under the ministry of the church. Now, I get phone calls from people who have never been into the church, have never ever had a part in this ministry, and they want money for this and money for that, and it becomes a great judgment call how you handle that. Where there are children in need, we might suggest, well, we'll get some food vouchers, or we'll get food and we'll bring it to your home and put it in your fridge, and at least your children will have some food. But if it is someone in the congregation and they are regular or at least quite frequent under the ministry of the word, and we know them, we know where they live, we know something about their family, and they bring to the church or a brother in the Lord and say, look, I'm just in a sticky patch. I've had a tough month and I can't make ends meet. Is there some form of help that I can get through? And you can detect that there's earnestness and there's a desire to get through this and conquer this short-term problem. There is obviously a responsibility that we should help such a brother. And so we are to do all we can that we might help that person in need. Jesus said in Luke 6:35, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Now that's a big principle. And of course, in short-term help, there are situations where you probably will never get it back. And maybe we can only help in a way that by saying, look, this is not a loan, this is a gift. In fact, I would favor a gift. A loan is really holding over somebody's head and saying, well, when you pay that back, then we're friends again. But if you give somebody a gift and say, look, this is to help you out in the present predicament, and enjoy it, use it wisely, may God bless it and multiply it, and we're brothers and we can pray for you, that is the Christian attitude. And that is the spirit that the Lord gives us here. And that is the spirit upon which Christianity has had the very name. These people love to give. That's why they call churches. That's why they go through the phone directory, going down the church list and saying, let's call the churches, because these people love to give. And so we do. We desire to honor the Lord and use that opportunity to be witnesses for the gospel. We also know that missionary work and missionary relief, as well as medical relief, has often and primarily been done by Christian people. And Christian medical work and missionary work is something that God's people have been willing to support. So that is the ministry, it is the message, and it is the witness of the people of God. And while the world and the Pharisee spirit is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, the spirit of Christ, if you're a Christian, if you're born again, if you've got a new nature, that new nature will dictate, I want to help. I want to do what I can by God's grace to be a helper to the one in need and make them to be overcomers by the grace of God. And I think that is an exposition of where the Lord Jesus said that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Well, where is that? Matthew 5 verse 20. I'll finish this. Ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so we need a totally different spirit, a totally different attitude from the world and from the carnal mind. We need to be a people who have a new heart, a new disposition, and a desire to display the grace of the gospel wherever we can. Now, the real issue then is self, me, the big ego in me. Self is the biggest issue in our own lives. And of course, we tend to serve self. But what does the gospel do? It crosses out the I of self. I must die. John the Baptist said, I must decrease because he must increase. Christ must be given first place. And the gospel calls us to die. Die to self. Indeed, we ought to join the self-denial club, that we be a people who are known not out to serve self, but truly to serve the Lord. And the reality is that we need to be converted. We need to be born again. We need to be living in the Spirit. We need to give up our pride over our name and our own respectability, and let our name be mud if it must be, but let Christ's name be exalted. And you can see the whole new attitude that is given here. So, brother and sister, what am I asking you to do tonight is to die to self. And I know that you can rationalize a whole lot of things and say, well, I've worked all my life, I've struggled, and nobody has helped me. But the attitude of the Christian is, I want to serve. I want. I'm not going to go to court and extract the last penny. I'm going to turn the other cheek. I'm going to be willing to lend where necessary. I'm going to be willing to help and have a spirit of serving. That is the Christian ethic. And when modernists and liberalists and the pacifists and the radicals of society latch on to this as a pretext, they know nothing of what the cross can do in a human heart. They misuse and abuse this text. We ought to exalt the Lord in obeying it. And I trust tonight that we have that whole new attitude, the mind of the Lord and the grace of the Lord to rule our hearts. Now, I believe you're going to be tested this week. There's going to be an issue that will arise in your life this week. And it might be your little boy or girl that will come to you and ask you to help. And mom and dad, what are you going to do? It might be a neighbor that is in distress. And that will be a God-given opportunity to minister. Apply God's word and the gospel message to your own life this week. And may God make this a profitable, profitable thing. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and the joy of the Lord, I trust, is your strength today as you walk with Him and serve Him. If you're listening in here in the morning, some of you may need strength for the day. And this is the Lord's promise that as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Others may be tuning in here in the evening on the way home from work, and maybe you've had a really hair-pulling day, a day when you just felt so overwhelmed. May the Lord meet with you and bless you and touch your heart and give you strength that you might be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Today's ministry is on turning the other cheek. And we're turning to the Sermon on the Mount by the Lord Jesus. And this really is good practical Christian advice that we need to be reminded of. We're going to read here in Matthew 5:33. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said of by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee. Turn not thou away. What we're dealing here really is the ethics as set out by the Lord Jesus. And as you know, there was often a controversy, a great tension between the Lord and the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the legalists. They went by the book. And sometimes they made laws and principles that were, well, on paper looked good, but there was nothing from the heart. Anything that removes heart from Christianity cannot always be right. There are absolutes. There are those things that are inflexible and unchangeable. God is righteous, holy, His word is true, and we won't change a word of it because it is the word of truth. But the Lord Jesus, in His ministry, in this Sermon on the Mount, He got to the issues of the heart and the issues of mercy. He did not just preach law only, but mercy as well. And what a good thing, because how would we ever be saved and how would we ever function if there was no mercy to be found in the Lord? And we are so thankful that God has dealt with us on the basis of mercy and does so every day. And therefore we are to reflect that and give a demonstration of mercy in all our actions with men. And I hope today, as you tune in to the broadcast, as we bring to you the message from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale, that the Lord will guide you and bring you into clarity on these things. So thank you for tuning in. May the Lord speak to your heart today.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.